From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Josh Chilson in Sioux Falls. The race for South Dakota's U.S. Senate seat is down to two after Democrat Julian Boudouin dropped out of the race. That leaves longtime incumbent Republican Mike Rounds and independent candidate Brian Bangs to see the race through. CJ Keene reports.
Boudouin says he left the race for several reasons, which include a severe house fire and what he describes as a pressure campaign from another candidate. The cause of that house fire remains under investigation, and Boudouin, a former trooper for the State Highway Patrol, says he's putting his faith in that investigation. Although for Boudouin, he says leaving the race is a family-first decision.
It's one thing to experience a fire when you're not in politics, but then, you know, folks try to use that as leverage to make sure that they're putting you further down. And it became a situation where the safety of my family was definitely paramount.
As for the other claim, Boudouin did not specify which campaign pushed for his ouster.
We were under quite a bit of pressure from one of the campaigns to drop out.
Senator Mike Rounds, a former governor, represents South Dakota's established Republican voting base and is projected to safely return to his seat by major pollsters. His campaign has not released a statement regarding Boudouin's departure. Meanwhile, Brian Bangs, who previously campaigned unsuccessfully as a Democrat to unseat Senate Republican leader John Thune, has. His campaign, quote, commends Boudouin's decision to help retire Senator Mike Rounds. FEC reports show Boudouin was behind Bangs in overall funding, but also in current cash on hand by a difference of over $40,000. Although, even combined, both funding totals pale in comparison to Rounds' remaining war chest of $2.7 million. Boudouin says he's not fully stepping away from politics, but is taking a moment to spend time with his family. He says he'll next start investing his energy in ensuring Democratic gubernatorial candidate Dan Ahlers and House candidate Nikki Gronley are well-equipped to win in their respective races. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
There's another leadership shakeup at the state penitentiary in Sioux Falls. Warden Joseph Remich has been replaced. That's according to a Department of Corrections spokesperson. Tabitha Benting is acting as interim warden. The DOC did not give a reason for Remich's departure. Remich was hired just last year. This position has seen several changes since 2021. That's when then-Governor Kristi Noem announced a shakeup in the prison leadership following complaints from staff over pay and working conditions. Authorities say a traffic stop led to a major marijuana bust in southeast South Dakota. The Turner County Sheriff's Office says a deputy pulled the vehicle over earlier this week. That led to a search where they found 26 pounds of raw marijuana in the vehicle. Investigators also found meth residue. The Yankton County Sheriff's Office canine unit assisted in the investigation. South Dakota's farmers and ranchers have been dealing with the impacts of tariffs, the war in Iran, and environmental factors as they try to turn a profit. SDPB's Jackson Dirks talks to one of our leaders in Congress for a perspective from Washington.
South Dakota's number one industry is full of producers looking to end the year in the black instead of the red. Farmers have been looking to Washington, D.C. to do so as tariffs and other foreign policy have weighed on the industry in the past year. U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson says he's hearing from producers about both the good and the bad.
We still want to make sure we're getting more good trade deals. Clearly, the president is using the threats of high tariffs to try to bring in better trade deals for our producers. But there are some concerns about the impact. I think there is some good news. When I'm talking to producers, they love the fact that I helped to get E15 through the House. We helped to get the Farm Bill through the House. They see that progress, and they understand how important that is to making sure we've got another generation of great producers able to feed the world.
Though there are other factors hitting farmers' bottom lines. Those include increased fertilizer prices, partially due to the war in Iran. As input costs go up, so does the likelihood farmers will end the year in the red. Producers are sharing those concerns about input costs with Johnson. He calls it a high-input environment.
Prices aren't lousy if inputs were manageable. But unfortunately, we are in a really high input environment. There's less complaining about that than there would have been 6 or 12 months ago, just because I think producers have had to find a way forward. That being said, we do not want to see another spike in fertilizer price or energy price. That is going to impact the bottom line for farmers and ranchers.
Ultimately, that impacts the bottom line at the grocery store, he says. And it's something Johnson calls too much for a lot of families. I'm SDEPB's Jackson Dirks.
Black Hills Energy says its newest natural gas facility, under construction in Rapid City, is on track to be operational by the December 1st deadline. BHE representatives say the 99-megawatt station will meet the ongoing growth of demand in the Rapid City area. It also will replace a prior power plant built in the 1960s. The $320 million plant will serve nearly 80,000 customers in South Dakota, Wyoming, and parts of Montana. This also includes a surcharge for BHE customers with an estimated monthly billing impact of just under $20 for residential customers and just over $25 for small commercial customers. The PUC still needs to approve this increase. Bikers are revving up for the Sturgis Rally, but it comes at a complicated time. With the increased traffic, the rally annually brings a corresponding rise in crashes, some of which result in serious injuries. This year, the event is taking place at the same time as a nationwide blood shortage. CJ Keene reports.
There are accidents every single year at the Sturgis Rally, and officials are concerned right now there might not be enough blood to properly treat a grim injury. That's before considering every cancer patient or surgical procedure that also needs enough blood on hand for potential transfusions. Tanya Peterson is the executive director of the Eastern South Dakota Red Cross chapter.
This is the height of trauma season, and mentioning the Sturgis Rally is a good description of that. We're unfortunately probably going to see a lot of accidents and a lot of traumas.
The nationwide blood surplus was quartered over the summer, raising alarm bells for the Red Cross.
We have, for the first time in quite some time, declared an emergency blood and platelet shortage. After the blood supply dropped across the nation 25% in June to critically low levels.
Peterson says there's only one way out of this problem.
By donating. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Particularly, O-type bloods are in high demand for the commonality of O-positive and the universal donor status of O-negative. In fact, Peterson had to push her interview with SDPB back so she could complete her own blood donation.
I've left the building feeling a real sense of accomplishment and having given back a little bit, especially since I know the nature of the crisis. And it just is a really incredible feeling to know that you've helped in some small way.
A list of blood events can be found online at sdpb.org/news. Additionally, with Sturgis beginning this week, local healthcare network Monument Health says the organization prepares for the rally season a year in advance and believes their Black Hills locations are ready for the influx of patients. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
A social science teacher from Northeast South Dakota is receiving national recognition. Brett Brennan of Waverly South Shore High School is the Gilder Lehrman Institute's History Teacher of the Year for the state of South Dakota. This award, started in 2004, recognizes a history teacher in all 50 states. Teachers are nominated by students, peers, and parents. Winners receive $1,000 and become a finalist for the national award, which is named in September. Brennan has been teaching at Waverly South Shore since 2009. Officials say her students have excelled in history competitions, and she's received several other awards, including the Governor's Award for History Teacher of the Year. That's your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at SDPB News. And stay up to date on the latest headlines at sdpb.org/news. Thank you for following listener-supported SDPB.